A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
Let's talk U.S. politics as President Donald Trump makes the headlines once again. I'm delighted to say that I am joined here in the studio by Tina Dutta, the country director at Republicans Overseas, and the CEO of the Motley Fool Singapore, David Kuo, who's a regular contributor here on Money FM and also on the BBC. Good to see you guys. Tina, I always wanted to get you in because quite often we're talking about things regarding President Donald Trump in the US that's not that positive. But you're part of the Republicans overseas, and we see in opinion polls that Donald Trump's approval rating among Republican voters is approaching 9 out of 10, 89% in the latest Economist YouGov survey, 86% according to another poll. So I want to get your perspective on why he's so popular with Republicans.
Well, what I think it's important for us to remember is that when the election took place, there was a lot of concern among Republicans with many of the policies that the Obama administration implemented during his last 4 years in office. A lot of those were related to social causes. A lot of those were related to their what they perceived as their religious freedoms, their private needs to be able to have access to restroom facilities, their communities being able to set up religious scenes during the holidays. These were very significant to the main core of the Christian conservatives in the United States. And those were implemented under the Obama administration during the last actually 2 years of his administration. So President Trump, when he ran for office, he talked about restoring Merry Christmas. He's talked about restoring the privacy and the personal rights that many people had felt that had been taken away from them. He also talked about taking a more conservative tone when he became elected and electing conservative judges to courts, because in the United States, the final say when lawsuits go through the United States court system and at the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court, he said he would put conservative judges on. And as we know, over the last 2 years, he has been doing all of those things that he said he was going to do. So as conservative Americans, from your personal social side of things, you're feeling very confident that your life is coming back to a more quiet area, a little bit more conservative, the way you would want it to be.
Okay. So he's done a lot of good things for conservatives, for Republicans. Let's bring David Kuo on the discussion. I mean, David's a commentator on political and economic issues. Why do you think he's resonated so well with conservatives? You know, what kind of things do you think he's done that have really got their approval?
I think it's because he's tapped into a nerve. And I agree with a lot of what Tina has said, that he tapped into a sentiment, a feeling that people had, that they were dissatisfied with what has happened in the past. There are some elements of similarity, Tina and Jason, between Brexit and what is happening in America. The people in the UK were fed up with Europe trying to dictate what is going on in the UK. And so consequently, when you tapped into that nerve, people said, yeah, let's get out. Right. We don't want what was happening in the past. We want something fresh. And that was really what Donald Trump brought to Americans, something fresh, something new. And I have to say that right at the outset, I too, you know, was hoping that he would bring something fresh and new to America. But unfortunately, I think over the period of time, I've been a little disappointed. He hasn't been able to step up from being a performer to becoming a statesman. And I think this is the disappointing part that a lot of people feel. And what is happening in America, to a certain extent, is also happening in the UK. It's all very well saying we don't want Europe to control us. But when you throw the baby out with the bathwater, this is what happens, right? This is what is happening in the UK. It's a mess. And I think a lot of people look at America and they go, it's a mess at the moment.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to say, just with regards to that, the U.S. actually is not a mess at the moment, similar to the way that the U.K. is with Brexit.
I think that's fair enough. I think we'd agree with that. There isn't the uncertainty and instability, right?
But also, one of the things that we have to take that I think is important for your listeners to understand is that the policies and procedures and the rules under the the environmental government, the school board, all these different organizations that we, Department of Education, Department of Defense, Department of Agriculture, there has been significant changes affecting the Midwest of the United States with different strategies, different policies being implemented that we don't talk about here. Americans are not just it's not chaos. It's chaos in New York. It's chaos in Washington, D.C., and it's chaos in California.
In the liberal areas.
And it's chaos in the city of Chicago.
But it is not chaos.
Are you not looking at Southeast Asia? I mean, you say there is no chaos, but this dispute between America and China over trade is causing chaos around the world.
Yes, it is causing chaos around the world.
So you cannot say that there is no chaos because people are facing a lot of uncertainty.
What I didn't say it wasn't causing chaos for everyone outside the United States. I did not say that.
Right.
We can talk about that, and I'm happy to talk about that. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is the United States and their approval rating of Donald Trump, which is where we started the question.
Yeah.
The Republican approval rating. And the United States, Donald Trump is taking care of the United States. He is taking care of the people in the United States, and he's taking care of the farmers in the United States. And whether or not we like that, I've lived in Asia for a long time. And I was on the TPP committee. I want to say that. I was on the TPP committee. I understand what trade is. I worked on that here. Okay, but right now, what Donald Trump says he's doing in order to protect the people in the United States.
Have you talked to the soybean farmers in America?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you suddenly find that China is not buying soybeans from America?
That's correct. Right now, they are not. But they've also found other distributions.
So how is that helping the farmers in America?
Because the soybeans are being distributed at other locations. And they're also being subsidized by the federal government over a period of time. There's been a big discussion.
Who's paying for that, Tina?
That we have it within the normal budget.
Yeah.
Budget was pulled maybe from other things through that were scheduled through one of the budget
department. The American taxpayer is subsidizing the trade war
they
between
are,
America
but they've decided
and China.
To pull money from somewhere else. They didn't allocate different budget money. They
money can
different.
Only be spent once. If you don't spend it somewhere else, and
it's
you spend
being spent where Donald Trump and his administration wants it to be spent, and it's also being spent in a good way. You do not hear on CNN our favorite basher of Donald Trump or BBC in the United States or other. MCNBC from farmers that are complaining about what's going on with the trade negotiations with China. Right now, it ends up, I'm willing to say that within the next 6 to 8 weeks, they're going to have a breakthrough on the negotiations with China. Has it been sketchy? Has it been painful? Has it been more painful for Asia and a little bit painful for the U.S.? Yes. But has it been a necessary action so that the United States can get a better grip on what's going on with China and the United States? I think so.
With Tina Dutta, the country director at Republicans Overseas, and also David Kuo, the CEO of the Motley Fool Singapore, talking about U.S. President Donald Trump. Well, okay, let's talk about the man himself, okay? And according to statistics, he's told 9,179 mistruths or false claims in his 800-odd days in office. And obviously, he's made some good strides with the economy. The markets are up. He's done great things with prison reform, tax reform as well. But how much does this concern you? His, you know, personal behavior. I mean, even last week, he said that his father was born in Germany. When we all know his father was born in Queens, New York, his grandfather was born in Germany. But you know, why would he say something like that?
So maybe in this. Not being a zealot, not trying to sound like a zealot, but maybe that was a misspoken word.
Stop making excuses.
So what I want to say to you,
man.
No, I'm not making excuses, but I want to know. I'm not familiar with the number that you just gave me. Okay, I don't keep record having to do with somebody saying that he's lied 25 times today, or misspoke 25 times, or misstated to mean something else than what was interpreted.
But do you think it's deliberate, or is it just an accident?
I can say he's a different type of president.
Okay.
Do I agree 100% with some of the things and the way that the conversation takes place, or the way that a negotiation takes place, or a way comments are made? Not all the time, and not necessarily, but on the overall purpose of having a Republican in the White House and Republican policies being implemented for the United States, I'm willing to look at that and still support the man with the policies that he is implementing on behalf of the American people.
You know, it's a bit like sort of saying that a boss that makes money for his shareholders is okay. Whatever he does in his private life is okay, as long as I'm making money out of it.
It's not about money. It's about
But
President
you are
Mitterrand,
making excuses no, for when, a man.
No, I'm going to say it's normal. Well, in the United States, we haven't had this policy that our presidents can kind of do whatever they want and have errors on their personal sides and allow that to go forward. Many countries in the world have allowed that to happen. So maybe I'm a little more liberal when it comes to these type of things where you wouldn't expect
me. So it doesn't really worry you.
You expect me to be. No.
It
as long
worry
as he
you
sticks to his words and he does the he implements based on the strategies that have been agreed for under the Republican platform, which is what he's sworn to do, to support the policies under the Republican platform, and he is sticking to those, I cannot say that I don't support the man and his policies. Again, the words that he uses, not my words to be able to be used, not necessarily the way I would do something, but he's enforcing the policies that I agree on.
Do you have a cringe when he says something or, you know, something comes out about his behavior?
Well, I cringe when my father says something like that. I cringe at Joe Biden. I cringe at Donald Trump. I'm 50. He's 70. Mm. We cringe. Look at poor Joe Biden right now. I'm cringing for him. He's hugging people 6 years ago and he's getting pummeled for it. So come on. I mean, I think it's just a little bit in the United States right now, that's just a little bit crazy. So do I cringe? Yes. I'm not from that era. But I'm not passing judgment on that era. I don't pass judgment on my father who's of that era. Mm-hmm. And I'm not passing judgment on Donald Trump of that era. I'm following his policies.
But don't you find it very difficult to take a man at his word when he says something like, my father was born in Germany, and then he says things like, I've received a letter from President Xi Jinping, or I've received a letter from President Kim Jong-un. And you begin to think, well, what exactly did you get? Because which part do I believe and which part don't I believe? And he says that Kim Jong-un is a fantastic man. And yet he seems to have forgotten Otto Warmbier for some reason, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of people in America who say, really? This is the guy that was responsible for the death of a young American in North Korea. So how can you on the one hand say, this is a great man, and yet on the other hand, people are saying, really? I mean, have you forgotten what happened when they brought that body back from North Korea?
I would agree with you that was a little bit that was not
and now
in
look
good
where
that
we
was
are
not in good taste.
Yeah, but
where
now
are
look
we?
Where
we are right now, where we are right now is there's no missiles being shot over Japan. We've gotten hostages. America has gotten hostages back. All of our hostages that we're aware of from North Korea. And while we're at detente right now with North Korea, as we finish negotiating the trade deals with China, don't think that after the China trade deals don't get worked out, that there won't be some further forward movement on North Korea. We all know we're smart people, and it's important that our audience knows this. There's a process that this goes through. And we can all sit here in a high up and just bash things for no particular reason when we all know it's going to take 6 months, 12 months. It gives us a lot of fodder to talk about, but we have to be fair to the situation.
We're talking about U.S. President Donald Trump with Tina Dutta, country director at Republicans Overseas, and David Kuo, the CEO of the Motley Fool Singapore. Tax returns. Should Donald Trump release his tax returns? He said he would a while back, but he's now backtracking.
Well, here again, we have a man who says one thing, then he says something completely different afterwards. During the election, he says, "I'm happy to release
if he's able to return, if he's able to."
Well, there's no problem. Apparently, the IRS says
right,
you can.
That's what we've heard, but we don't know.
Right.
Okay, I'm saying this: if he's able to, he should. That's as simple as that.
Okay.
If other presidential candidates have released their tax returns, if he's able to do it, then he should.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong if he were to release
his
tax
return? It's kind of what could possibly go wrong when he's investigated and we let Mueller do his job and all of a sudden he didn't do anything. It's the same thing.
Well, we don't know that for sure, right? We only know the summary from William Barr, the
Attorney General. So somebody has summarized 400 pages into four.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's go back on this in a month when all that's released and the independent counsel comes out, and then we'll have dragged this on longer and it'll still come to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, watching a snippet of a movie, you know, it's not the same as watching the entire movie.
I know. It keeps the intrigue keeps going. It gives us all something to talk about for like 8 more
weeks. I've seen snippets to movies and I think, gee, I really want to go and watch that. Then you go and watch the movie and you go, wow, you know, that was such a disappointment.
David, maybe I could ask you, you know, you spent a lot of time in London. You're from Hong Kong originally. Why isn't Donald Trump being welcomed in London, in the UK? He still hasn't made a proper visit to London.
Well, there are some people who like him in London.
Yes, I mean, indeed, yeah.
Look at Nigel Farage. I mean, he's good friends with Donald Trump. So there are people that, just like Tina, identify with the things that they hope Donald Trump will be able to do. And I think also, when he was running for presidency, here in Asia, a lot of people looked up to Donald Trump. They said, hey, this is a guy who made millions of dollars, right? Apparently from a very humble beginning.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really humble. But he is a self-made man. And so people look up to that, particularly, you know, Asian, young Asian people. They look up to entrepreneurs and they say, this is a man who's done it. I want to be like him.
Mm.
But then 4 years down the line, just like me, I just think, well, he's disappointed me a little.
From the 2015, when he first decided he was going to run. How would you compare him, Tina, to the great Republican presidents we've seen, whether it's a Ronald Reagan or a George H. Bush? Where would you put Donald Trump?
I think it's still, we still have to wait and see. You and I discussed this a little bit before the show started. The era with which Ronald Reagan came in, we were stuck in the Cold War with Russia. And I think that Reagan was an incredible president to be able to negotiate a peace, a detente with Russia during his tenure as president. That was just amazing. Unfortunately, with President Bush, we had the issues with the war, and he was dealing with a war that began under his presidency. And he was the responsible one for that. So he became the one-term, a one-term president. Talking more about President Trump, he didn't come in and in any situation right now where he's starting a war. He's cleaning up a war. He's cleaning up wars that we have been in over periods of time, where Republicans or Democratic presidents have put us into wars for good reasons and bad reasons and what have you. The one thing he is trying to do is he's trying to step into the peace area. And we've seen that where he's trying to put an olive branch out and try to deal with North Korea and create some sort of an understanding or peace for Northeast Asia, Southeast Asia with regards to North Korea. This is a very long process. As we know, there's been two meetings. The only, you know, it's a slow process. We can say that there has been some things that have created a little bit of calmness now, because prior to the meetings taking place, rockets were flying over Korea and over Japan, and there was a lot of chaos, and ships were sailing from Australia up to, you know, to the outside of Japan, ready to take them on straight up. And they've been able to tone it down quite a lot and bring it back to a conversation. And, you know, with Israel and him taking the bold step, which other presidents haven't done, I think that's more of an interesting conversation, not necessarily for our group here. But President Trump did take the bold step to say that we're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Mm. And I think recently, this next week, he's going to say, and it's okay for Israel to annex the Golan Heights. So I'm not an Asian specialist with regards to politics, so I'm not going to dig deep into all of that. But I will say, as a Republican administration and a Congress that has been saying they're going to do this for 30 years, they have been telling the Israelis they're going to do this. For him to be bold enough to actually say, okay, enough is enough, we're going to step up and put our money where our mouth is and do that, I think that's more of a thing that we're not sure how that's going to work out. And if something comes with regards to that in North Korea, maybe 20 years ago, 20 years from now, we might say, taking the domestic policy out of it, taking the international policy into the mix, that he was an excellent president. But we have time to see. He's been 2 more years left in this administration, possibly 4 more years after that. So let's say there's a 6 years of him being able to work on this international political situation. It would be all of our blessings if something was to come with the help of China and trade and North Korea to come to an understanding on North Korea. That is something that would be incredible for everybody in Asia. So I think it's a little early to judge.
All right. We'll leave the last word for Tina Dutta, singing the praises of U.S. President Donald Trump. She is the country director at Republicans Overseas. And David Kuo has also been joining this discussion, the CEO of the Motley Fool Singapore. Tina, thank you so much. We're going to have more from David in a minute, but it's been great having you on the show.